There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And it's Jeff Porfilly for Sean Sullivan today on FM Talk 106.5. That's FM Talk 106.5.com. Today with me, as always, holding my hand through this ordeal is the legendary Dalton Orwig.
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. Back from Huntsville.
Yeah, I think you need to put some more miles on the ride. I think that's what you need to drive more places this week, if possible.
It's all coming to an end. Now there's no more election. There's nowhere to go. And there's like kind of a hole in my soul.
No campaign events, no debates, nothing for you to go to now.
Not like a county Republican Party meeting or something, you know. Throw me a bone, guys.
Yeah. No, you need to make it back to Tallahassee and rest a little bit. You've had a week for the ages, a few months for the ages, actually.
Well, I think we're getting on the road. My wife and I are taking a trip this weekend, so
good.
Get a few more miles on the automobile.
Amazing, but heck of an election.
I tell you what, you learn a lot about oil changes.
I bet. Yeah. You have to do that often, because, yeah. I mean, and audiobooks, that too.
Audiobooks I've kind of gotten burnt out on.
Hmm.
A lot of talk radio. You catch up on the talk radio. That kind of keeps you up where you need to be in the news, not sitting in front of a TV all the time. But there's idle time, and then it's not really idle once you figure out little things you could do to occupy your time as you drive.
I wonder what the candidates listen to as they crisscross the state. I wonder what the KIVs and the Walt Maddoxes, what they do with their time as they travel from stop to stop, whether it's all practice for their speeches or what exactly they do.
Well, see, they have, like, entourages. So they have drivers, and they have people kind of, you know, doing stuff for them. And I think they could just kind of chill out in the back seat or whatever with their laptop or, you know, and do all these things. So don't quite have that luxury when you're a one-man show.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's all coming to an end for you after the vacation this weekend, I guess, after the trip with the wife.
And it'll start back up. Something else will come on. So Mississippi looks like it's heading into overtime here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. So that might be another election. And Lord knows what might happen in Georgia if you have a runoff situation there.
Yeah.
We could have another month of campaigning.
Oh, great.
That's what America needs right now, right?
More money into the campaigns. That would be December 4th, I think, if they do hold that runoff in Georgia.
So, yeah, how are you going to spend your Thanksgiving this year?
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we got a lot to get to today. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we got Pepper Breyers, the Alabama Policy Institute. He's going to come on and talk a little bit about Jeff Sessions. 1 p.m., we got Terry Lathan, chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party. She's going to give us her rundown of kind of what happened Tuesday night here, now that we've had a day for things to settle. And one of the more interesting things I saw kind of across the radar was Bradley Byrne last night. I think on WKRG was commented to them and said he thinks that impeachment is imminent for President Donald Trump. We're going to have him on the show at 1:30.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're sitting here right now. But I you know, first of all, we'll talk about Jeff Sessions' resignation as Attorney General. There's been some talk. Now we've deliberated whether or not he was a good Attorney General and all that. What's his future have in store? And there seems to be a lot of talk about him running for his old seat in 2020 against Doug Jones. That ought to be an easy Republican pickup now. I mean, say we said this in 2017 when he stepped aside to go be Attorney General, and look where we are now. But if you're a betting person, that's probably where you put your money on whoever the Republican is. I don't know that there's the appetite for Jeff Sessions 2.0 for a couple reasons. The first reason is, he was always sort of a backbencher character in the U.S. Senate. That wasn't of his own doing. He was always a guy. McConnell never moved him up. He never got to chair a committee. He was always he would be the ranking Republican of a committee, And then when it was his turn in line to be a chairman, they would use some kind of parliamentary tactics or whatever to make sure he wasn't the chairman. So when Obama was elected in 2008, they put him as the head of the ranking Republicans in the Judiciary Committee, and I think that was just because he had a couple of Supreme Court nominees come through under Obama, and he was kind of the guy kind of spearheading the resistance or whatever you want to call it to that. But they were going to pass because it was Harry Reid's Senate. It was a Democrat-controlled Senate. He was just a loyal opposition. Then when he termed out as the ranking Republican of that, they moved him to budget. He was a ranking Republican in the Budget Committee. And then right about the time Republicans take back over the Senate in 2014, Mike Enzi just jumps over him and gets that chairmanship. And there was some kind of rule or something, and they gave him like a consolation prize of some subcommittee chairmanship that was totally irrelevant. So my question is, why would he want to go back to that? Why would he want to go as the nation's top law enforcement officer and go back to being a, you know, just sort of this, you know, maybe not quite a backbencher, but a midbencher, without and get treated like that by Mitch McConnell's led Senate? I just can't see that. But furthermore, let's think about this. In Alabama, there's a big thing where we like to bring home the bacon from the federal government. So there are some questions if whether or not he would get his seniority back if he were to return to the United States Senate. There's no guarantee that he would. They may give it to him, they may not. But here's what I would say. Why would you want somebody kind of up there in years like Jeff Sessions, who may serve two terms at the most, I think, and have to start all over again with another young, you know, candidate or whatever that gets elected to the United States Senate eventually? Why not go ahead and start it now? Let them do all the things you got to do as a freshman senator, do their first and second term things, and then, you know, then eventually you're back to where you are with Richard Shelby, and you have your chairmanship of the Appropriations Committee. So what I think, this is just my theory, that if he starts flirting with the idea of running for U.S. Senate again, the good old boy structure in Alabama will say maybe not. Maybe you let one of the younger guys, you know, and these guys aren't young, but they're young enough to where they could be in the Senate for a while and accrue some seniority, I think.
Well, he is, 71 years old now, about to turn 72. So the age is a question. Of course, we have people serving in government that are much older than 71.
Right.
But the point you make there, that if you're going to have a younger senator in there eventually, why not get started a few terms ahead of where you would have to start? And then the response on our Facebook page and text line has been split about even for people that do or do not want Sessions to run for Senate. And one of the things that's been brought up often is his age. I know one person posted on our Facebook page that if he wasn't so up there in age, he wants him to run again for Senate. But age does become an issue.
And I kind of wonder if the other part of that is the shine's kind of worn off of him after this Trump thing, where I think you would have a split in among Alabama Republicans. You know, is he pro Trump enough, or are they like loyal to Sessions like they had been before? I don't think you have that loyalty anymore. I think that he's probably about 75% of where he was. I don't think there was enough damage done to him during his attorney generalship. But that being said, it's hard for me to see. He probably wins if he runs today, but I don't know that he's going to be the guy that everybody wants him, you know, to be the next senator from Alabama again. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan at FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
No Sean Sullivan. He'll be back on Monday. I'm Dalton Orwig. Jeff Poore sitting in for Sean today on Midday Mobile. And we're coming to the phone lines in just a minute. 251-343-0106. But, you know, holiday season's coming up, and that means party season is coming up. You got your Thanksgiving holiday party, got your Christmas holiday party, whether it's work or family. You want to arrive with the best party gifts at whatever party you're heading to, and Cottage Hill Package Store is here for everything you could need. They're always keeping their inventory fresh, and they have the best selection in town. So stop in this week and check out some of their newest beverages, and you never know, you might find your new favorite drink or maybe your new favorite cigar with that massive humidor at Cottage Hill Package Store. I know, if you're like me, it's hard to imagine finding something better than your favorite that you've already got stocked in the fridge. But Cottage Hill gives you the chance to try hundreds of items in their package store because they have that tap up front. You could try just the taste, see if you like something new, or go ahead and fill up an entire glass. Believe me, you will want to take some of these beers home with you. They've got you covered. They can fill a crowler or a growler for you if you're taking it in a 4 or 6 pack. But the best way to always know what's going on at Cottage Hill Package Store is to like their Facebook page or sign up for their tasting event emails so you never miss what's happening every single week. They always have craft beer tastings, wine pairing dinners, or cigar events on the calendar. You don't want to miss out. Cottage Hill Package Store, the best selection and the most fun corner in town. You can find them at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. And we will run to the phones right now, and we'll start off in Theodore, where we talk to Thomas. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Dalton. Good afternoon, Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
I heard my people say that Jeff Sessions is down at Disney World.
Really?
And he's patting down all the guests for ganja. And he's patting all the journalists on the back. And Maddox, he's practicing a lottery, doing scratch-offs. He's trying to figure out how the lottery works. And Kay Ivey, she's watching reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies, trying to get her diction straight.
This is just brutal.
Fort Courage out here in Theodore, and thank you for having me on.
Wow, I can't believe Thomas doesn't get calls from the big news stations with those sources.
That's so pretty connected. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I need to tweet it or something right away.
Yeah, that's some breaking news right there.
I don't know what Jethro's up to.
Who knows? Maybe David has some more breaking news for us. Hey, David.
What's up, David?
My breaking news is I hear Thomas is going to be doing some sets at the Laugh Factory in Vegas before too long.
Yeah, except when Thomas is there, they just call it the factory after that joke.
Besides Sean Sullivan, I'm possibly one of the biggest Jeff Sessions fans out there. I mean, you know, Sean and I are a lot alike. We're homers and mobile homers. But I think Jeff Sessions has been there, done that when it comes to the Senate. I don't think he really wants to go back. I'm thinking he just wants he may just want to enjoy retirement, maybe move back to the home Wilcox County and enjoy the countryside. But if he doesn't, here's a couple of ideas that I think might work for him. If our illustrious mayor here in Mobile, Sandy Simpson, decides to not run for re-election in 2020, he could always decide to run for election of City of Mobile mayor, probably would win in a landslide. Or, you know, the First District of Alabama has always been one of those seats that loves an establishment Republican that's been in Washington, knows the ropes, and doesn't really have to do a whole lot to get reelected. As long as he doesn't screw up, then, you know, it's always been known as the congressional seat for life, or at least as long as you want it. So what do you guys think about that?
I always thought that the missing jewel in Jeff Sessions' crown would be governor of Alabama. That's not happening anytime soon. Despite what the media tell us, I don't think that Kay Ivey's leaving anytime soon. I don't think she's in ill health, so I don't foresee that opening. What does he accomplish going back to the Senate? I just don't think there's anything there for him. Like you said, been there, done that. And is he really the best fit for Alabama? If you're Jeff Sessions and you were just Attorney General, hey, I'm going to come back and you know, it's kind of like when these presidential candidates like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, they're out going primary to primary state and they're doing all these things and they're in the middle of the media. And then all of a sudden they have to bow out because if they came up short. And next thing you know, they're just back in the Senate doing their everyday job, which is a high-profile job, but it's nothing like the spotlight of presidential politics. So what, you know, take away from what you know Alabama voters think. Why would he do this? Why would he want to be a senator? And why would he want to have to go, like, you know, play second fiddle to whoever up there and take, you know, kind of get condescended to by Mitch McConnell?
Well, I mean, he's been through so much drama over the last few years,
right?
And attorney general was his dream job, right? That's the job that Jeff Sessions
allegedly
wanted. So, you know, if you grow up and you end up playing quarterback in the NFL, and that was your dream job, and then you're cut after a few years, and you know you're not going to make it back to the NFL. Do you play in one of those lower leagues? Where do you think he has motivation to stay in politics? I mean, at 71 going on 72, I know a lot of these politicians, they just want to stay in office or stay on the campaign trail until they're too old to move, but wouldn't you at 71 or 72 want to just, you know, get away from it all for a little bit?
There are just some sad figures in Alabama political history that just didn't know when to let go. And they're still out there. And I'll just name one, Don Siegelman. His time came and passed. He did his time in federal lockup, and now he's still kind of out there making the rounds. But you see these guys, they show up, they try to rekindle that old magic, and it's just the saddest thing ever. So no, I don't think that's Jeff Sessions. He'll be remembered for much more than that. But why, you know, you kind of going out on top? And why? Here's a question: if I'm Jeff Sessions, I'm gonna look. Where am I gonna make money at? Why not go work on K Street for 5 years, make $1 million, and then move back to Hibbert, Alabama, and live on the farm and just show up every now and then at fundraisers or BCA meetings or whatever it is and cash out and just spend time with the grandchildren, right? Why would you want to go back to Washington, D.C. and be a part of that culture again? I never thought he was a good fit in any of that anyway. The people that worked for him, they were always a little different than your average D.C. climber, your D.C. hanger-on. I just think it's his time in that arena's past.
Well, a couple texts on Jeff Sessions. Paul texted in and said, Jeff Sessions has served Alabama well, but is not sharp enough to hold the office again. And Tony and Daphne says, I'd love to see him be the mayor of Fairhope. Maybe he could straighten these clowns out. So everybody's got an idea of where Jeff Sessions should head next. I wonder what Jeff Sessions actually thinks.
Yeah. And that's the question. Now, I know there's some talk about him being senator again. That's getting floated out there. But we're in the silly season. We're in the early stages of silly season of 2020. We know that some, there's some out there being rumored to want to look at the seat. Bradley Burns coming up on the show later. Del Marshall we had on the show last week. There's some talk about Gary Palmer, who's a congressman for, the Birmingham area. Those are the three names that you hear a lot. And there's some other names I think that we're going to see maybe in 2022. Will Ainsworth, the lieutenant governor-elect. John Merrill, Secretary of State, just reelected to a second term. So I think those are some names looking toward 2022. There's also a talk that after the U.S. Census in 2020, Alabama's going to lose a congressional seat. So looking at 2022, this is assuming Richard Shelby steps aside. Now, he's been saying he's going to step aside for 20 years now, but, he's still there. And a lot of people seem to think he's serving in his last term. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say he does. And I think you have a field of candidates for 2020. You have a field of candidates for 2022. Maybe some of the hopefuls in 2020 that don't make it, they try to run in 2022. But, the Sessions Shelby years and years and years and years of being our U.S. Senator, I think those are done. I think Shelby's the next to go.
It's
new faces.
A new day in Alabama, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you say when Jeff Sessions was a senator in Washington, was he a bit of an outsider already? I know when he was the first to endorse President Trump's campaign run there, the first, I guess, senator, first big name in Washington to endorse him, kind of seemed like he was already a bit of an outsider.
He was already a bit of an outsider because he didn't just preach the populism stuff. He believed the stuff. He was always the guy doing the studies on, like, the growth of the food, the social welfare system and food stamps and things like that. Always big on the border. He was, the gang of one of the gangs that tried to force through immigration reform in the mid-2000s when Bush was president. He blocked that. He was always the guy where, trade was another thing. He was kind of the intellectual godfather of Trumpism. And that's just not something that gets things done in D.C. You don't go hang out in the Hawk and Dove after hours over drinks with Jeff Sessions and the gang. They did their own thing. They had their own sort of ecosystem. So, yeah, he was definitely an outsider. And just beyond all the ideology and all that, he was even an outsider when it comes to the whole social scene, I think. He wasn't a guy that really played the D.C. game like everyone else.
If the Democrats flipped the Senate, if they had more Senate seats than the Republicans now, no chance Sessions resigns this week, right? He's still Attorney General. Or do you think he would have resigned anyway?
Well, you're in a lame duck situation with Senate. They got to move. I mean, they still have the gavel. They would still have the gavel in the Senate till the first of the year. I think it becomes more, there's more of a rush. He has to step away immediately. Then they had to force somebody through at the last minute. That becomes much tougher, you know, just given the politics of it. But there's a chance that if the Senate were Democrat, that he'd still step aside anyway. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106.
Time to head over and talk with Larry Kirby from LCM Motor Cars. How is the inventory looking out at LCM Motor Cars right now? I know you guys have some cars that are already on the lot looking for a nice home.
We're busting at the seams. We've got great inventory, great selection of just about everything you could possibly want.
Great to hear. I know walking your lot, you got plenty of good vehicles there, but if I've got a vehicle in mind and you don't have it in stock, I can bring it to you guys, and you can go out in the country and find it for me.
Absolutely. They don't have to come in, and we prefer they come in, but they actually go online to our request line and fill out the request, and we'll go to work.
The financing options at LCM Motor Cars are a dream.
Absolutely. You know, like we talk about all the time, we got credit unions, we got banks, we got finance companies, we got local lenders, we got lenders as far away as the West Coast.
All right, and tell us how we can come see you, Larry.
Highway 90 West and Theater, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
That's Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars.
Feel like you can't afford to sell your home? Jason Will's Buyer Premium Listing Program cuts the commission rate in half. That's a total fee of just 3%. Call me, Jason Will with JWRE at 333-4700. That's 333-4700 or online at jasonwillsellit.com.
It's time for your 60-second golf tip, presented by Quail Creek Golf Course in Fairhope. Hi, I'm Randy Bergen, host of Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show that you can hear each Sunday right here on FM Talk 106.5. Learn this shot to lower your scores. I'll tell you about it when we come back. Quail Creek Golf Course, conveniently located off Highway 181 in Fairhope, is the local choice for great golf. Quail Creek offers senior golfers two sets of senior tees. Set your tee time up now to Quail Creek. Dial 251-990-0240. When you go out and practice, try this. Aim at a 100-yard target and use a 7-iron. This shot will come in handy on windy days, hitting off hard pan, or going after a tricky pin placement. The ball will fly low and stop quickly. Here's what I want you to do. Use a short backswing and grip down a few inches on the club. Play the ball back in your stance and drive down and through on the ball. Practice this shot until you get the distance down well. It'll be a great shot to add to your repertoire. You learn that shot right there, and you're going to lower your scores. Quail Creek Golf Course in Fairhope is the local's choice for great golf. Improve your game. Take a lesson from PGA Pro Jeff Marks and his professional staff. Call Quail Creek today at 251-990-0240.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And it's Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan. One more day for me, and then tomorrow.
Then tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. We're still working on tomorrow's midday show. But Sean Sullivan, he'll be back. A much-needed week and a couple days off, and Sean will be back fresh and better than ever on Monday.
He could catch up on the election results and let you know what he thinks. But you got me for now.
Hey, you've been doing a great job. I mean, there's really no one in the state that has covered as many different races as you have, as closely as you have. So if there's anyone that knows about the elections, at least statewide, it's you. And then on top of that, you have plenty of information on the nationwide races. So
right.
I think you've been a great fill-in, Jeff.
Well, and you do realize how different the different parts of the state are, and just how different Mobile views itself as such a different part of the state, how everybody else in the state looks at Mobile. When they talk about Mobile, they talk about it like as if it's Mexico or something. It's just Mobile, guys. But, you know, there's not a lot of back and forth, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people notice that. And we you know, this is something that's been debated for hundreds of years, and since Alabama was established as a state, the whole Mobile versus everybody else in Alabama sort of fight, it's been a thing. It was cut off from the state. There really wasn't a good road that went to Montgomery. You had to like cross the bay on a steamboat or whatever, and then you had, once you got to Stockton, there was like a stagecoach that took you to the railroad, and then you got on a train and you went to Montgomery. It wasn't the easiest place to get to. Then that, you know, the roads came along, 31 came along, you still had to cross the causeway. That might have been by ferry. That might have been by, you know, all these different modes of transportation that 100 years later we're still dealing with, trying to get across the bay efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to drive up 31, or then finally 65 came along, and now it's a little bit easier, and you could stop off and roll some dice and Atmore or whatever you choose to do. But that weird sort of division between the rest of the state and Mobile, it's always existed. It's always been sort of a tension, and I can't ever see it going away.
No, and especially with how the BP oil spill money was divvied up, I feel like that fractured the relationship even more.
Yeah, and they took the BP oil spill money to patchwork together a budget, but that's what you get, you know. I think a lot of people look at, when I lived out here all those years, I looked at Mobile.
The civil authorities have issued a required monthly test for all of Alabama beginning at 12:38 p.m. and ending at 1:38 p.m. This is a coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations of your area. We are testing equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
That was a first for me.
It appears the test worked. Good job, EAS.
As a young radio guy in the infancy of my radio career, that was my first EAS
test. Well, we made it out fine.
Well, that, I feel better about the civil authorities keeping us safe.
Mm-hmm.
We know those safeguards are in place.
We're in their hands now. Everything's okay.
I don't know what happens after that, but.
So we were talking about the divide between Mobile and the rest of the state.
Yeah, and I don't see that changing. I think the BP oil spill money, is just symbolic of it, that they took it to patch together the state budget, and a lot of bitter people. But guess what? You don't have enough people down here to sway an election. That's why, for example, the gubernatorial election, you had all the Republican primary debates in Birmingham. So everybody looks at Birmingham as kind of the center of power. Montgomery is just where the stage is, and then you have the up-and-comer in Huntsville, and Mobile is Mobile, and Baldwin County is certainly growing, so, you know, maybe it, but is it growing fast enough to keep up with the rest of the state? The political power in the state and Mobile is something that, you know, maybe eventually they need to look at kind of working together and building like a Mobile caucus. I'm sure they do a little bit of that already. But Montgomery's such a weird place right now. One-party control. Speaking of one-party control, a funny thing happened election night. And when I say funny, I mean a ha-ha way, not a peculiar way funny. Mallory Hagan, a candidate for Congress, the Democratic congressional nominee for Alabama's 3rd District, she's running against Mike Rogers. She got beat by 30 points, but she made a lot of noise. Got a lot of national media attention because she's a Miss America, former Miss America, running for Congress. So it's like a Miss America goes to Washington story, just your average everyday American from Opelika, right? Anyway, so what happened statewide, up and down the ballot, everywhere, the Democrats got beat. Unless you're running in a race in the 7th Congressional District, which is Terry Sewell's district, then you really didn't have much of a chance as a Democrat. You got beat, and there's a lot of people kind of standing around pointing fingers now at the Alabama Democratic Party. Hagan got up on stage in her concession speech and let a few cuss words slip about the Alabama Democratic Party. She said that the party under Nancy Worley and Joe Reed, they defecate on their candidates, and she didn't use the word defecate. But she said this on stage. It was captured by the cameras. It's kind of a big deal. She was probably the most caustic of the, but there were others. This Tabitha Eisner ran against Martha Roby in the 2nd Congressional District. She got beat by a similar margin. She criticized the party. I think I saw Judge Vance, who ran against Tom Parker. He's criticizing the party today. There's been some other big names. Sue Bell Cobb, who ran against Walt Maddox for the nod. She's criticizing the party today. The Democratic Party, the way it's constituted right now, it's sort of, well, say it's the African-American power structure in the state. It's the trial lawyers, and it's sort of this new kind of wing of it, the activist grassroots, quote-unquote, resist wing of it. What, you know, that wing of it's kind of growing, and I think they're kind of looking to say, hey, we've been doing this same shtick for the last 20 years. We can't win a race. We won Doug Jones' race, but even Doug Jones doesn't like the Alabama Democratic Party. He wanted a different person heading it. So I wonder if we're kind of in the last throes of the Joe Reed era of Alabama Democratic politics. But there's a civil war going on, and what, you know, way that plays itself out, I think it's going to be just fascinating to watch. It's going to be great to watch. It's going to be political theater. There's going to be accusations aimed at each other. There's going to be, you know, just the way they're spending their money, what they're doing. The one thing that really caught my eye in the late stages of this last campaign election cycle was Joe Reed. He's also the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Caucus, which is the African-American sort of support wing of the Alabama Democratic Party, sent out letters to candidates telling them that they needed to pay a certain amount of money based on the office. It was all the way up to $25,000 for some offices. And the point of this was so that they could print up campaign literature, and when, you know, voters got to the polls, they could hand them out. So they're practically extorting these candidates, and it's a very strongly worded letter warning them if they don't pay this money, they're going to regret it and they're not going to win their office. Well, I mean, a lot of these campaigns are pretty hamstrung for funds to start with. They're not going to be able to pay these outrageous things. But anyway, I think the way they look at it is the Democratic Party raises all this money. It doesn't really do a whole lot. Even Doug Jones, the most successful Democrat in the last 20 years in Alabama, he had a hard time, you know, getting the Democratic Party to work with him. He's complaining about it. So we're at the tipping point. And, you know, while the Democratic Party is largely irrelevant in Alabama, the media is very Democratic. And I think the media in Alabama is going to give us a lot of attention. So you'll have this sort of civil war within the Democratic Party where you get a front row seat for. And that's something to look forward to coming forward. Coming up next on FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile is Pepper Breyers, the Alabama Policy Institute. He's going to talk a little bit about Jeff Sessions' departure from the Department of Justice. And we're taking your calls at 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And it's Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan. You got me today and not Sean. FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106. Joining us on the line now is an old friend of mine, Pepper Breyers of the Alabama Policy Institute, senior fellow. Pepper, thanks for joining the show today.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. So you got some thoughts about General Sessions stepping away and kind of where he's at. Tell me what your initial reaction was. We heard the news yesterday.
Well, I mean, it was expected, but it was sad to hear. I mean, you know, like most Mobilians, I've known of Jeff Sessions for decades. I remember being in middle school or high school and watching the recordings from the hearings when Ronald Reagan nominated him to a district judgeship, and Senator Kennedy tearing into him when all the allegations, gross allegations, eventually proven false allegations of Jeff Sessions being a racist and
right.
All that. They said that Jeff Sessions went on to say that he was borked before
Bork was a thing,
was a
right?
Thing. Right, yeah. And, you know, looking back, that was a trial, a balloon. They were gearing up to see how they were going to take out a Supreme Court nomination. and it has grown progressively worse ever since. That began with Jeff Sessions, and people back home in Mobile knew, hey, this guy's got a great reputation. He's a decent guy.
Right.
And, you know, but that led to him becoming Attorney General of Alabama and then eventually Senator and eventually Attorney General. But, you know, it was just sad to see because on both hands, is a good man and was, I believe, a great Attorney General.
When we talk about Jeff Sessions' tenure, his 2 years or almost 2 years as Attorney General, what are we going to remember him for, do you think?
Well, I think in the short term, people are going to remember all of the, you know, the controversy between him and President Trump. But that's the sad part. It was such a distraction because the things that he was able to accomplish in these 2 years are phenomenal. I think he was the best Attorney General we've had in the past 30 years. You know, three former Republican Attorney Generals published an op-ed in the Washington Post today from their perspective of having run the department, listing some of his contributions. I'll just run through a little bit of them, a few of them. Remember, he came in and took control of the Justice Department during a low watermark
right.
for that place. I mean, it was police around the country were feeling that Ferguson effect, were feeling that the government, the FBI, and the Justice Department didn't have their back. Things were going really bad. There were the declines in violent crime had started to tick up these last 2 years of the Obama administration. Opiate abuse had skyrocketed, but Attorney General Sessions came in. He reinstituted some of the charging practices,
right.
You know, for drug offenses, and we're not talking about the kids, you know, selling pot on the corner. These are big time drug dealers with they're called violent. In 2017, his Justice Department prosecuted the highest number of violent offenders since 1991, and then in 2018 they broke that record again.
So,
and you know the former Attorney General say, you know, Jeff Sessions came into the Department of Justice with four goals. He wanted to reduce the rates of murder,
right?
Reduce violent crime generally. He wanted to tackle opiate prescription fraud and drug overdose deaths. He achieved all four.
Well,
and not to mention what President Trump was elected to do was to stop illegal immigration. I think Jeff Sessions was the only member of his cabinet that was taking that deadly serious.
Do you think that, you know, people kind of my thinking with Jeff Sessions was I think there was such a high bar set for him. He had such a great reputation as a U.S. senator. They expected him to come into a Department of Justice, this highly sort of politicized apparatus in our government, and kind of clean out the deep state, which is a massive undertaking. Root out all the weird politics in the intel community, and it just. That might have been a little much for an attorney general, especially one that they immediately kind of marginalized out of the gate with his recusal for the Russia investigation that led to the Mueller probe. But all these things, people, I think, just at least from a Trump supporter's perspective, they had a lot higher expectations for Jeff Sessions that maybe they were just not plausible for him to live up to.
And I don't think they were looking at the complete picture. I mean, if they were focusing on the Mueller investigation as the reason, I mean, I saw some pretty horrible trolls on social media yesterday saying all sorts of bad things about him. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you're not looking at the whole picture of what this man has accomplished. You know, like 99% of what was going on up there in the Justice Department, I believe, was good. Now, I believe he was right to recuse himself. But here's the thing. We have seen no evidence coming out of the Mueller investigation so far.
Right, right.
That indicates it's going to be anything. He might just say, hey, there's nothing there. There might be a few minor prosecutions, but nothing that would have warranted or likely would have changed had Attorney General Sessions been, you know, had not recused himself. So for basically nothing, we're losing a great attorney general. That's what bothers me about this whole thing. It's so needless.
Real quick, Pepper, we're running out of time here, but what's next for Sessions? Does he try to run for Senate in Alabama again?
Well, he's got my vote, you know, but hard to see him doing that. We have a lot of good, you know, conservative Republicans who could take that seat. He could take it if he chooses to run. He has my vote, but I don't think it's necessary.
All right. Well, Pepper, tell people where they could find out more and more about what you're doing.
Well, you can visit us at alabamapolicy.org, and you can follow me on Twitter at jpepperbryce.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks for joining us today, Pepper. That's Pepper Breyers of the Alabama Policy Institute joining us on FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back here shortly with Terry Lathan, who's the chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party. She's going to talk a little bit about our two nights ago's elections. It's all blending together for me after the last 48 hours. This is Jeff Poor filling in for Sean Sullivan, FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106.